From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Trump's lawyers say that it's impossible for him to post a bond of $454 million. What's a dollar here, a dollar there when it comes to a bond? Am I right?
I hear you, buddy.
Scanners that were bought by the United States government are sitting unused because the Langford bill is being hung up by the Senate. Right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to do anything with it. Not going to pass. Really difficult. But thankfully, there's a hero out there, an American hero who's trying to get those scanners used. Now, most of the fentanyl that comes into the United States comes in through legal ports of entry, which is why taxpayers paid for these scanners to come in and look for fentanyl inside of trucks or bananas or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And because that bill is being stalled, not being used. But again, thankfully, there's a hero out there that we all need to talk about. But before we get to all of that, some sad news. Spike O'Neill has been diagnosed, finally, officially, with terminal Trump derangement syndrome. There is no cure for it, Laura, unfortunately. There is only treatment, right? It's a sad day.
Heartbreaking.
It's a heartbreaking day.
It's only stage three.
So
there is. It's not terminal.
We're not Jim Acosta yet,
no,
right?
No, it's not terminal.
It's not Kathy Griffith, right?
It's chronic. It is treatable. I was told it's treatable.
Okay. Well, I know it's treatable because your physician gave me what we need to do.
Okay.
We got the cure, right?
Right.
And the only way to cure it, the only way to cure TDS is, because we all know TDS is a very unhealthy condition to have, right? It's fits of rage, taking quotes out of context. So the only way to cure TDS is we have to juxtapose what one media narrative is with another media narrative is, and then slowly that TDS, like a balloon, it'll just slowly start to deflate over time, right?
Okay.
All right. So over the weekend, former President Donald Trump, while addressing the auto industry, said that he will be that there will be a bloodbath if he loses the 2024 election.
Right.
And then he ramped up his anti-migrant rhetoric. Now, that's from ABC News. But in actuality, what Trump actually said was what, Laura? We got the quote from the fine president of the United States.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
But what did he say before that? Do you remember what he said before that?
Oh, I only saw it out of context.
What? You guys only saw it out of context? Are you kidding me?
Hold on.
Wait, Trump.
I'm doing a breathing exercise.
Spike, did you see the whole thing in context or did you not see the whole thing in context?
I did see the whole thing in context.
And what did he say right before then?
He said that he wants to put 100% tariff on imported cars.
Yes, exactly.
Because Biden's EV policies are killing the auto industry.
Right.
And if Donald Trump is not elected, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Right. Very good. See, look how we're curing TDS.
He didn't say it was going to be a bloodbath for the auto industry.
Well, but he
did later.
So what,
he clarified. He backed.
So the Trump syntax in many ways is like Yoda, but with full sentences. Does that make sense?
So, I bet he would be.
So he will flip prepositions and he will flip statements that are supposed to basically he backloads sentences. So instead of saying it will be a bloodbath, comma, for the automotive industry and comma, if I am not elected president, that's the sentence that was meant to come out of his mouth. But what he did is he splits those into three different sentences because he's functionally illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is confusing to people. And then ABC gets to take him out. I'm from the East Coast. I understand what the man was saying. It's going to be a bloodbath, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not actually saying anything about violence. He's talking about economic bloodbath. Everybody knows this, so much so that Joe Scarborough of Morning Joe took down his original tweet about that quote because it was so unbelievably embarrassing for him to take it out of context. Yeah?
I hear you. And I tend to jump off that cliff of conclusion, or, you know, false jump to conclusions.
Yeah, you put on your bathing suit,
you
cannonball right off of it, right?
And I understand that he was speaking to the auto industry. And he was referencing what would happen to the auto industry. The preface before his inflammatory comment clearly makes that clear. So when I see people like Nancy, you know, another box of wine, Pelosi, out there saying, you know, this is nuts. I know Nancy doesn't drink. I'm trying to play both sides. I understand that hyperbole doesn't help here.
No, it doesn't.
It does not help at all here. And it feeds into the everything Trump says is coded. And while he's speaking to the auto industry and he's speaking about the bloodbath that will take place in the auto industry,
yeah,
he's got a portion of his voting base.
I understand
that it becomes desensitized.
I think a large part of that is because Trump is not a very eloquent or loquacious speaker. He's just not. And I don't say that as a point of insult. I would say the same thing about Joe Biden or whatever. Not a lot of people they don't have a very wide vernacular.
That's agreed. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Moreover, people's speaking patterns in the United States have dropped in clarity. And so there is something that I think that people need to realize, that sometimes shorthand sentences that don't make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. sometimes you need to actually decipher them, much like in the ending of, what's that one movie? What is it?
Heidi?
It'll come to me later. The thing that people should be concerned, though, about is Trump's anti-migrant rhetoric, where he referred to human beings as not being human beings, which is a bit of a bizarre statement to make. Here's what that sounded like.
If you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion, but I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. They say you have to vote against him because did you hear what he said about humanity? I've seen the humanity, and these are animals, okay? And we have to stop it. We can't have another Lakin.
So this is supposed to be curing my TDS?
Yeah. Okay, so technically speaking, human beings are indeed aminals. We are of the aminal kingdom.
Okay.
And so if we're being generous, we could say that former President Donald Trump was giving us all a lesson in biology. But, yeah, Laura.
Where's my spin room?
Oh, there we go.
But what I really think that Trump's problem is that because he cannot describe someone as being sociopathic, and because he has the vocabulary of about someone who's in fourth or fifth grade, he says animal instead of talking about mental illness. Is it wrong? Is it Hitlerian? Is it quite frankly very stupid? Yes. But also at the same time, I think we can chalk that up to his inability to articulate complex ideas when talking about human beings. Right?
So that's fair. And I understand the rationale behind this. It's not doing a lot to help me come down from the cliff, but we're working here. We're work in progress.
Right.
Is there a responsibility of a major party's political nominee to know the difference between inflammatory, to know the difference between words that should and shouldn't be used, especially given the climate that we live in today's America?
That's more of like a, is there a responsibility? No. Is it politically savvy? Yes. I guess I'll say it like this. Do you remember when Nick Cannon went on that one podcast and he was talking about white people and how they're not actually human beings? Do you remember that?
No.
Nick Cannon, a beloved Nickelodeon star. Laura, do you remember this? About 6 years ago.
And serial populator.
Yeah. That's mostly what I know him for.
He went on his podcast and he said that white people were inferior because they were not melanated, because the lack of melanin in their skin being derived of vitamin D resulted in them becoming another classification of human being.
Wow. Right?
So that was his eloquent, albeit insane, way of dehumanizing white people.
Okay.
I think you have to judge it like that, where there are people who are so ignorant, like they don't know what they don't know. And so they try to frame things in a particular way because they think that they're resonant with other human beings, but in actuality, they're not. And so when Trump does that, he thinks that he's making a very well thought out, poignant, emotional point about sociopathy and gang activity and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. because he doesn't actually know how to articulate it because he's not actually that bright. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But isn't he connecting with a group of people when he talks that way?
I mean, my mom is functionally illiterate. I don't really necessarily give her a hard time when. Like, did I ever tell you about when my mom was thinking about moving down to San Diego?
My mom
is not a very literate person. Okay. God bless my mom. She got a heart of gold, right? Yeah, she teaches disabled kids how to ride horses. I mean, is there a greater saint on God's green earth than my mom? I don't think so. But when I was thinking about moving down to San Diego, because Sarah was thinking about going to grad school in mm-hmm. San Diego, I say to my mom, I go, hey, mom, Sarah and I thinking about moving down to San Diego. Better weather. Sarah's going to go to grad school. I get me a job in the radio business and media broadcasting. And my mom says, you don't want to move to San Diego. I say, why, Mom? She says, there's so many Mexicans down there. I said, Mom, that's a terrible thing to say. I said, Mom, your boyfriend's name is Gabriel Hernandez Lopez Garcia. It's not his real name. But I was like, Mom, your boyfriend is from Mexico City. He's as Mexican as it gets. Why wouldn't I want to move to San Diego? And she said, oh, I meant crime. I said, Mom, that's still really bad. That's still really bad, Mom.
Yes, and you meant what you said.
And then she says, what I meant to say, and this is my mom through sign language. Yeah. She goes, what I meant to say is, what neighborhood are you going to move in because I want you to be safe?
That's
do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I could go on this huge thing about how Mama Jay is a racist,
but what it was
a language barrier. And what I'm saying is that in the same way that a 9-year-old can't articulate complex ideas about socioeconomic or psychosocial development or whatever it is, Trump can't do it either, and so you got to cut him a little bit of slack.
So I hear you, and I appreciate you trying to bring me back to a common sense.
Have pity is what I'm saying.
Well, so Donald Trump is just a boy.
He is a boy.
Standing in front of a country.
Yes.
Asking it to like him. Right? Is that pretty much, is that?
Please like me.
Please.
Please clap. You know? He's doing the Jeb Bush. So,
and much like Hugh Grant said, I'm going to politely say no.
So there are scanners that were paid for by the American taxpayer that have been shipped to almost every port of entry in the United States. And what they're designed to do is look for fentanyl and then also in concert with that, detect the chemical trace of the thing, the various and sundry things that go into fentanyl production.
There's a wonderful story on MSNBC News that laid out some. These are amazing.
They're amazing machine.
I mean, imagine an airport security screening that you walk through that you can literally drive a semi truck through.
It's really amazing technology. Taxpayers paid for it. This technology will save lives empirically, right?
So let's get them going.
So let's get them going,
yeah,
right? Hey,
sure,
everybody.
Easy. End of story.
Finally going to get rid of all that fentanyl. Woo. Am I right or am I right, baby?
Because as you said earlier, it's points of entry, folks.
Points of entry.
It's not.
Not anymore, cartels.
It's not mules walking across the desert.
Bad news, though, because the Langford bill didn't pass, those scanners are sitting basically unused. Now, I got a lovely email from somebody over the weekend that said, why are you so mean to the GOP? Said, Jack, I love listening to you, but you're so mean to the GOP. And won't you reconsider not being so mean to the GOP? And I said, I'll reconsider it. And then I read about these scanners and I just got so mad because you can't go around saying, look at what Joe Biden is doing with the fentanyl epidemic.
Willfully ignoring.
Yeah, yeah. And then when we pay, those are taxpayer funded. Those are bought for with your dollars that are now sitting in gigantic crates because they actually need to be installed to be used. That funding is in the Langford bill. So, and which, by the way, Republicans refused to vote on because Donald Trump told the vast majority of them, if you vote on this, I will primary you out of existence. Now, thankfully, there is a senator out there, a man of great conviction, a man who is a true hero. And that senator's name is John Ossoff out of Georgia, because he submitted a bill on Friday that funds exclusively these scanners. We got a little bit of that package.
I mostly have the package from NBC talking about how they're just sitting in a warehouse.
Never mind. We already covered it. That's all right.
You nailed it.
You did it. That's still good producing, Laura. That's still A-plus producing. So the thing that's so great about this is that this is a man who, by the way, is a Democrat who is saying, my state is affected by this. I need to get this funding through for all Americans. This is great policy. And when people come to me and they go, oh, Jack, you're so mean to the GOP. You're so mean to conservatives. Why do you do it? Because of garbage like this, because of trash like this. There's a literal equipment right now that everybody likes. The Langford bill is a bipartisan bill. It is a great bill. It provides judges, border agents, all kinds of funding. It gives Biden the same power that Donald Trump was asking for in 2019 from Congress. It's a great piece of legislation. We could have it today. Unfortunately, the GOP cares more about the optics of Americans dying than actually passing meaningful legislation. And that's why I'm deeply grateful to the socialist John Ossoff for coming through with this bill, because he is a filthy socialist trying to fund these scanners, the installation of these scanners, so that we can save lives.
This is the first time I've heard Ossoff's name because he was one of the two special elections.
He's a rich kid socialist from Georgia.
You remember, like, right after the presidential election, there was the Georgia runoff, those two seats that were both Republican, both went Democrat.
Trump told people not to vote
because you couldn't trust the vote. And that's why we have these two seats and a
Right.
Democratic Senate control.
Right.
And I haven't heard Ossoff's name since then. He's been, I guess, working quietly, not appearing on network television, not grandstanding in a security room with a big picture. Hunter Biden's junk. He's doing the real work of the people. And like you said, he's actually focusing on getting something done. When you said there was a hero to step up, I'm thinking, oh, Mitch McConnell. Who said the politics have changed, even though the situation hasn't and the laws need to, but the politics have changed.
Right.
We can't vote on it now.
We can't vote on
wasn't
it.
Wasn't Mitch on his way out the door.
No.
I'm not coming back. I've actually hit the age of 175, and for a turtle running for office, that's the limit.
Right.
Joseph Ossoff. How do you stand in front of this if you're a MAGA Republican congressperson?
Well, they are planning on people not reading into this and not actually paying attention to this, because there is a media matrix out there which is dead set on lying about the Langford bill and lying about the provisions that's in it, even though about a third of that bill is identical to what Donald Trump was asking for in 2019. Do you remember when he came out and he said, I am now asking Congress for the power to do X, Y, and Z at the border?
Right.
That's in this bill, only it's for Joe Biden. And that's why the GOP doesn't want to sign it, because we're not dealing with government, we're dealing with politics. So I understand that people might feel frustrated with how critical I am towards the GOP, but I have every reason under the sun to be right at this very moment, because a champagne socialist from the suburbs of Georgia is the most America First politician today, because on Friday he submitted this funding mechanism, which is only funding for those scanners, which the GOP won't vote on because they don't want to give Biden a win. What? That's why I am critical, and that's why I will continue to be critical, because you have to point out this kind of inconsistency, and if people don't like it, it's not my problem, right?
Based.
So you don't like it. Is that it, Spike? Is that all you got on that?
You covered it. I'm with you. Let's do some common sense legislating here. Let's address a problem that makes you pro school kid.
Well, what it
makes you pro community.
What it makes me is that, you know, good policy is just good policy, right? And so I don't really care who it comes from. I don't really care. I don't really have any kind of connection to any political party. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever. I don't really care who puts forth the legislation. What's his name puts forward the child health insurance program? Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat.
Right on.
Someone's got legislation to try to crack down on fentanyl coming in the United States. I'm fine with it. I don't really care who it comes from. Problem is that now people treat politics in the same way that they treat sporting events. And the stakes are much higher than who gets a pretty trophy and who gets a ring.
No, it's whether your kid goes to school in a safe school.
I guarantee you, if I went to a MAGA rally and I asked them about the Langford bill, I doubt the majority of them know it exists. And if I ask them about the funding that went into the scanners at the border, I doubt the majority of them know that they were already bought and paid for. And if I ask them who Senator Ossoff was, they're probably going to say, God bless you. Do you know what I mean?
Probably so.
Gazoon tight there, young man. Now, what was your question? Like, this is the issue with the American voting body, is that there is so much policy information that flies right by their eyeballs, and we're distracted by gay pride and trans bathrooms and you know, COVID vaccines or whatever it is. We're so distracted by all this nonsense that when actual meaningful policy comes across our way, we don't pay attention to
it. I wish it was just that there was too many distractions. It's also the misinformation. 5,000 people a day are going to be allowed under the Langford bill. That's not the case.
That's not the case.
It's misinformation. It's misrepresentation.
We will take a really quick break. When we get back, some dating advice out there, because some dating coaches online are pushing women to seek more traditional, Laura, gender roles. What does that mean?
Whatever could that mean?
Does that mean doing things that a woman should do in the house? That is a woman's womanly, wifely duties, as my grandfather used to say.
Wow. Sandwich in every kitchen?
Right. Well, it's not just that, but like more traditional, like submissive.
Oh.
Very backwards, because men, they can only deal with their insecurity when they have a submissive woman. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this.
Elves would be for Biden.
Or based.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Right.
I'm a huge Trekkie. Cringe or Base, a fun game we like to play every day at 1:35. I'm getting targeted ads that are making me cringe deeply. It's for date my age. It's for senior dating, right?
Oh.
Now, I am not a senior citizen. And so the fact that I continue to get ads like this, Laura, this is making me feel pretty rough. It made me feel old.
I'm sorry.
Am I old, Laura?
No.
Am I old now? Because
it feels like a trick question.
Okay, thank you, Laura. You passed. All right, so
there's this article at NBC
talking about how men are, or dating coaches are now is telling women that they need to embrace more kind of traditional values in order to catch a man if you're out in the dating scene, right? Now, all I see from women online who are in the like women dating space is the most unrealistic, bizarre girl boss nonsense I've ever seen. And I got to do a PSA for the ladies out there.
Okay.
Men don't like this. Like, what did this one lady, she said, you only get a man if he can afford you. Yeah, can we play this really quick?
My husband had a savings account specifically for me to afford me before we started dating. Listen, my husband loved my hair, my husband loved my makeup, my skin, my body, my nails, the way that I smell. Those were the things that my husband loved about me. And he knew that all those things come with a price. So before my husband started dating any girl, he had money put away to afford the women that he was looking for. And I also never entertained men that couldn't afford me. And you shouldn't either. Not even if he's nice, if he treats you right. The matter of fact is, to survive, you need food and a roof over your head.
So let's just kind of break that down for 2 seconds. Hair, nails, skin, the way you smell, those things all go away, right? Those things all start to get bad, and they go bad real fast. And this kind of girl boss attitude when it comes to men is a massive turnoff. Guys don't like this. I need to buy your affection. I need to purchase you like you're a cow. Please. This is something that women really need to steer away from. Men don't like it. Quality men are not interested in this kind of trash. And this, quite frankly, is deeply cringe. But also simultaneously, this idea that women need to start attaining more kind of the submissive role or traditional roles or whatever. Mm-hmm. People already kind of naturally do that with each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, people already kind of acclimate to each other in a living space. So I'm not necessarily sure what this means other than women need to be fine with being subjugated again, which is also giga cringe. I said it. So these both sides of the spectrum are giga cringe.
Was that that brain trust we played there, was that Carla Elia? Is that who the dating coach referenced in this particular story?
We don't need to name that poor girl.
Because, you know, I'm looking for a vacuous, shallow guy who is completely drawn to my physical appearance. But I want to make sure that before I catch this shallow guy, he's going to have to take care of my pamper bottom for the rest of my days.
Right? I don't know, Laura. Am I misreading that? What do you read about this, Laura? What's your read? Is our senior woman expert in the building?
I see so many of this kind of thing on TikTok. It's just like all over my feed.
As a woman, does it make you feel empowered to see somebody say, you have to have someone who's willing to go into debt for your love and affection?
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Because if you can't maintain this, and everyone ages,
yes,
right, then you'll be traded in.
That's why you trade in for a new model, baby. That's what I'm saying. That's why I only date women under 25, because I keep getting older and they stay the same age. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I will say that the author of this particular article
right over his
no
head.
No, I'm not going to celebrate your shallow trading in mentality. I've been married for 32 years.
I like that I make a joke and Spike just goes right past it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. What were you going to say, Spike?
I give the credit to the author of this story, Angela Yang, that say, well, this kind of mercenary mentality might help a few women realize that you date a shallow guy, be sure he's got a bank account, take care of you down the road. It doesn't really help anything. It doesn't help women at large.
No, I don't think so. I think maybe one of the biggest problems right now that men and women have is that they don't actually know how to talk to each other. They don't actually know how to converse with each other.
I was going to say get a prenup.
Well, that, yeah. But on top of all that, like, men and women in general, we've been kind of habituated into thinking like men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And we're basically speaking two separate languages, and men speak in this kind of code and girls speak in this kind of code. And you have to figure, you got to get the Rosetta Stone and you have to be able to blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Which is, for me, I've always found that to be weird and bizarre because I don't have issues talking to women. I could talk to anybody. I don't have issues talking to men. I could talk to anybody. But when I am talking to younger men, they're, oh, I get so nervous when I talk to women. Oh, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to look cool? Am I supposed to be like this? I said this before, but I'll say it again. It's other people's job to impress me. I don't need to be impressive. I'm not a salesman, right?
Yeah.
I am already impressive by who I am as a human being. And so when people do this thing where they have to sell themselves to the opposite sex, as this young woman pointed out that she needs to do, this is an indicator of like deep insecurity that my entire worth as a human being is compartmentalized and packaged in my physical attributes.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, lady. Like, I don't know, maybe read a book or two and then have your mind, your knowledge be the thing that people are attracted to in addition to your physical attributes.
Like Laura said, that all fades. It's times is cruel. And so at some point, you're going to want somebody that can hold an intellectual conversation with you, can share an interest with you, is stimulating beyond the physical.
I like to kind of break it down like this. Like, men like to be seen and women like to be heard. Does that make sense? Men like to be seen in the sense of, oh, you fixed the kitchen cabinet. Thanks so much. Oh, you washed my car for me. Thanks. Oh, you did the laundry for me. Thanks so much. Women like to be heard. It's, oh, this awful thing happened at work today. Can I tell you all about it? And then as a dude, you're supposed to shut up while she, bah, 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 and then Karen did this, and then Rachel did this, and bah, 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 and you're supposed to go, oh, man, that's awful.
You also have to remember everyone's name and what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
Just throw that in there for the next.
If I get a pro tip for every dude out there, remember 3 of your wife's coworkers, and you will have a happy marriage for the rest of your life.
Write them down.
That's so good.
And so every so often you just say, hey, do you remember like 2 weeks ago when you were telling me about Rebecca? Whatever happened with that, your wife will love you till the end of time.
Because you listen.
Oh,
that's so good.
Men like to be seen. Women like to be heard. And that is the way that we fix the world. And quite frankly, what this young woman is doing is basically saying the opposite, which is that like men, you need to purchase my affection or whatever.
Yeah, and any guy who asks you to split the check is not your guy. Well, and that's good. Maybe this influencer.
You should never ask a woman to split the check. I'll tell you right now, as a man, no.
Okay.
No.
I'm with you there too. But see, I said it's more of a traditional, a chivalrous, you know, respectful.
For me, it's
way.
A wage gap issue.
Oh, fair enough.
But for real though, men, you should never look a woman straight in the face and say you split the check with me, right?
Or can you Venmo me for your portion? I've gotten that one.
Oh, ooh.
Please, right? I had a thought this weekend, and I was like, you know how I feel like a fully encapsulated man?
Mm-hmm.
I can do 50. Okay. I can do 50 push-ups. I can write a song. I can name 7 different philosophers, and I can do X amount of things in yoga, right?
And you can cook like a champ.
And I can cook like a champ.
Yep.
I'm saying that the Renaissance man, the Renaissance woman, needs to come back. And this weird thing of I'm only valued for a third of my corporeal being is giga cringe, right? We'll take a really quick break when we get back. No stupid questions. Laura is reminding me to be nice. Laura always reminds me to be nice. She says that I get mean to people in the text line. I hadn't noticed, Laura, until you said something about it.
Be nice.
Any question you might have, 888-973-5476. We will answer it. You want to know why the elections in Russia were corrupt? You want to know why Andrew doesn't shave until the sun comes out? We can answer all those questions when we get back right after this. There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Ah, yes. No stupid questions. My heart breaks every day during No Stupid Questions because I see what so many of my contemporaries in conservative media have done to my fellow American citizens. Spike, it really does. It shatters into a million pieces. It literally, I don't know how I'll recover from this question.
Okay.
Because what people do often is they think they got a gotcha question, right? Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, I'm going to dunk on Jack, right, is what they think.
Sure.
I'm going to dunk on him. Not realizing, I have no wife. I have no children. I have very few hobbies. And so I have to read in order to fill the hole in my life where 2 little children should be, right? And a wonderful, beautiful, I have to read in order to ignore the existential crisis that I go through on literally a nightly basis, where I just stare into the void, into the middle distance, picturing a life that I could have with 2 little J's running around, a Mrs. J. Not there. It's ephemeral, Spike. It is a ghost. It simply doesn't exist. So I fill it by reading literally thousands of pages of trash. So this person, with all that in mind, they decided to text in, Jack, what was wrong with the bill that Congress sent to the Senate that is now collecting dust in the Senate that would provide far more border security than the bill you guys are bragging about? It allows up to 5,000 people per day. That's 1.8 million per year before they even consider shutting the border down. That's a question. I believe that was meant to be a statement.
Okay.
So because I have no wife and because I have no children, I have read the Lankford bill so much so that I can tell you that on page 123, subsection 4B, mandatory activation, the secretary shall activate the border emergency authority if I, during a period of 7 consecutive calendar days, there is an average of 5,000 or more aliens who are encountered each day, or II, on any one calendar day, a combined total of 8,500 or more aliens are encountered. So what that means by mandatory activation is that the secretary shall then kick into that those emergency funds, the Border Emergency Authority, mm-hmm. and then shut it down. It's not an option. I mean, it has to close that day. Meaning that there is no more catch and release. There is no more so on and so forth. It is mandatory. That is written in the bill. That's what it is, dude. So, like, why do people do this, man? They do this thing where they're like, oh, well, what about this information that I didn't bother to read? It's like, okay, dude, like, go read it. And then save me the time of having to answer it for you.
I'll tell you why, because I could point to a half a dozen representatives from Republicans, representatives in Congress, who have said it allows 5,000 people per day to come into this country. They have this text been told this by the people that they have voted for in Congress.
Yeah.
And it's not let in. It's 5,000 encounters.
Encountered.
Or 8,500. Encounters, which means people being stopped at the border,
meaning that
not given a court date in 6 years,
no catch
and sent
release.
To roam about the country.
Right.
That's not so. People get so flamed up.
Well, because they don't read, and like when people do this thing where they think that they have an own or a gotcha, and they bring it to me, it's so embarrassing because I'm like, just read the bill. Sure, it's 500 pages long, but if you don't have a wife and a kid, any kids, it's super easy.
You got your time. And here's the thing. Jack read it for you. Okay.
I read it for you, so you wouldn't have to do it. So much so that all I had to do was pull up the bill and go, what subsection is it in? That's right. Page 103, subsection 4. I committed that to memory. I read it 3 weeks ago. I'm a literal insane person. Somebody stop me. My brain is too wrinkly. It's growing at speeds. My power level is above 9,000. It can't be stopped.
You know what the speech and debate clause is in the Constitution?
No.
It's what the speech and debate clause is, where people can't be held, can't be brought up on charges, or they can say whatever they want in Congress. That's, I'll paraphrase.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Because you are an elected official, you have the speech and debate clause, which means I can go on any major network and say 5,000 people released in the country every single day.
Yeah.
It's a free for all. To quote Ted Nugent.
Right.
So there's no consequence for someone who openly lies to their constituency.
That's such a shame. The Lankford bill is a great bill. It is a bill that Donald Trump would have loved. Anybody who is against it is only falling for a piece of propaganda that is borderline political malfeasance. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
It is a detriment to anybody out there who's listening to someone rip into the Lankford bill, trying to make it seem as if it's something that it's not, is a real shame. Question, curious to know if Jack is still single. I am. I am very single.
Thank God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have time to read the Lankford
bill. Otherwise, I wouldn't have read. I haven't heard you guys giving him a hard time about it in the past few weeks. So here's the deal. I still need to take pictures for my dating app, mm-hmm. and I need either Laura or Slow Joe Wallace and his wife to mm-hmm. do it for me. Every time I try to do something with Laura, Laura is busy, whatever that means. And then every time I try to link up with Slow Joe and his wife, he's always busy, whatever that means.
We're watching reality TV. This is all I talk to Joe about.
So, reality TV?
Right. So
we're both big fans of Below Deck.
The thing is I need a woman's perspective. Because if I take pictures of me, it's just going to be me doing like the fifth grade smile. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Sweater vest holding a book.
Yeah it's going to be really corny, right?
So we need to get a female photographer who's willing to come up and do some shots for you?
The other problem with this is I'm deeply neurotic, Spike. Like, I am a man of neuroses.
Mm-hmm.
And so a woman in my life has to be able to, I'm like a special needs dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have to have that kind of woman in my life who understands that maybe I can't go to the park with the other dogs all the time.
Right.
And sure, if you know, I can't have any peanut butter because I'll go into anaphylaxis. I'm like that kind of a boyfriend. Do you know what I mean?
But loyal.
Very loyal.
Like a special needs
very
dog.
Very loving.
Yeah.
Can provide great things.
Housebroken, right?
Housebroken.
Cool.
And so it's the kind of thing where like the woman in my life has to also understand that the neuroses that I have run deep. I will hold a yoga position for minutes at a time so that a bee doesn't sting me.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's because I'm so afraid of moving my hand from the pain.
I just had a stroke of genius.
Andrew, I should marry a bee.
No, Andrew, in the future when we talk about Jack's single status, we should play a Sarah McLachlan song in the background.
Yeah,
like they do on those ASPA commercials.
Not the sad one.
It defeats the purpose. I was going for pity.
I don't need pity.
You don't. You need a good partner.
That's what I need. Laura, thoughts?
In the eye.
All right. The Supreme Court bar exam will no longer be required to be an attorney in Washington State. That's interesting news. Colleges are realizing that they can't ignore the truth, even if it hurts. About what, you may ask?
I'm intrigued.
More problems for Boeing just keeps racking up. It seems like every other day, panel, wheel, something's going on.
Does the euphemism of a Boeing jet flying through the air and pieces continue to fall off?
Does that work? That works. I can't believe
they're still aloft.
They're taking apart a plane in mid-flight is what they're doing. And it's bad times when we get back right after this.